grace is. Every person has the manifest presence of Christ in their life that's going to transform them. So we got to have a revelation that grace is not just a cover-up for our problems. It's the manifestation of Christ in our lives that transforms who we are in our character, nature, way, power, and authority. And we lead to empower people to embrace grace. And so we're going to continue to talk on this. And so on page 5, God's government, the government of God will exercise the authority of Christ. So the government of God will exercise the authority of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now look at these verses and some things it does not say. It does not say where the Spirit is, there's liberty. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, for flowing water without boundaries is called a flood. Flood causes damage, and we have to fix things. And so God doesn't just want anything. It's not just freedom. Now, water with boundaries and no flowing water could be called a lake. It could be called a pond. It ends up being a great place maybe for recreation, but it doesn't really accomplish any great purpose. It's a place that we can go and maybe experience the water, but it doesn't have any destiny. It doesn't have any place that it's going. It's a place that we are going to. I think there are churches that are like that. I think there are churches that are like a flood. Now, when we have deep ruts, deep ravines, we have deep boundaries, but we don't have any flowing water, we call it a ravine, we call it a valley, we call it a rut. We can call it a canyon if we box in one end. It's a boxed canyon. You can't get out at one end. If we kick in both sides, it could be a grave. And so we don't just want boundaries with no life. We don't want life with no boundaries. We don't want boundaries with experience. We want boundaries that define purpose. Because when we have flowing water with defined boundaries, open-ended, but both ends, we have a river. And a river can accomplish great things. And I believe that the church is like a river, like Ezekiel 47, the river gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So anything that I would be a leader of, a pastor to, I would want to establish the boundaries where there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, liberty doesn't destroy other people. Liberty brings life to other people. But it is life. It's not just boundaries and it's not just life. And so I believe that we should lead in a way that establishes the correct boundaries of life. Point number 2, proper government requires governors. And we've talked a little bit about this, that the governors are what govern the city, not just, or what governs the ministry, not the design of the ministry. So the design of our life, the design of an engine, is how it's put together. Its explosions that happen in there give it its power, give it its function. But then we need to govern it in some way. Now, Holy Spirit is the government. The Holy Spirit is also a governor. He tells us things to come. He tells us what to do, but then he empowers us to do it. So he's both the government and a governor. And we can learn a little bit about being a governor by looking at the Holy Spirit. So in Zechariah chapter 4, we see there's a governor. If we were to read Zechariah 4, you'd find that there was a governor at the time of the rebuilding of the temple named Zerubbabel. So the governor found in Zechariah 4 is Zerubbabel. Now Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, Babel means confusion. Zeru means seed. Seed in Babel. And he was the son of a man named Shealtiel. So Shealtiel's son, Zerubbabel. If we look at the genealogy of the name, Shealtiel means Astov. So he's the Astov seed in Babel, in confusion. Now, the Astov seed in our confusion is the Holy Spirit. Luke 11 says, if you ask your earthly father for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a rock. If you ask him for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. Well, how much more will our heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? If our earthly fathers give us good stuff, how much more will our heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we've asked for the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. As a leader, I ask for the Holy Spirit to be in this expression of the body of Christ. As an individual, I ask for the Holy Spirit to be in my life. I need him to be both the government and the governor. So in Zechariah 4, he was the governor of the project for the rebuilding of the temple. So the Holy Spirit is the governor of the city of God. Number four, Jesus gave these gifts for the equipping the saints. There's some equipping gifts that help us in the governing of the government of the body of Christ. Now, I don't believe that these equipping gifts are the government. In the Old Covenant, they could be the government. Sometimes they function like that. In our congregations, we allow them to function that way, and we end up with an old government style ministry, and old government people told what to do, how to act, instead of being inspired in the hearts of becoming. One creates methods, the other inspires people. So I'm going to say they're governors, and these expressions are not expressions of the Holy Spirit, but they're expressions of the headship of Jesus. And these expressions are seen as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they're found in Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, some of my friends don't see this as fivefold ministry. They see this as fourfold, and they present that all pastors need to be teachers because it's evangelists and pastors and teachers. I get that, and I don't have a problem with that. I do believe, however, there are five expressions. And so I believe these nouns, whether they be four nouns or five nouns, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, I believe that the greater value is a church that becomes apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and mentoring. In other words, I believe the body of Christ, in any expression that we have of a letter of the Spirit, is meant to be sent and sending, each in their unique placement, finding their place. That's apostolic. The verbs, their attributes is sent, sending. They are sent and send others. They are life-giver authority, and they send life-giving authority. They're also prophetic. They see things that haven't been seen, heard or thought, they hear it and they think it, and they speak and life happens. They express and life happens. They're also evangelistic. They reach into the darkness and life happens. There's fruitfulness that comes out of barren places. They're also pastoral. They care for one another. This is the verb, not the noun pastor, but the verb. They're pastoral. They care for one another. They speak to one another. It's not just one person being the pastor of the congregation. There is pastoral attributes in this body, in this family, and people are caring for one another. And they're teaching. They're helping people grab hold of what is God saying, becoming what God is saying. They're mentoring. They're discipling. Not teaching about what they know about the Bible, but teaching one another, helping one another. And so I believe that the greater value of the nouns, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is God wants a body to become apostolic, pastoral, prophetic, evangelistic, mentoring. And so we find these things described. What the nouns do is described in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 11, goes on down through verse 16 there. And I'm going to just break this down. I've broken this down in our notes here. And we're going to talk about what do these things represent. So these five expressions, these nouns, are given to some for the sake of us becoming the body. They're not gifts for individuals, but individual gifts given for the profit of maturing the saints. So the greater thing is the maturing of the saints. The lesser thing is the individual gift. If you will, we're all members of the greater thing, which is the maturing body of Christ. But God appoints some to be a lesser thing, servants of the body, so the body can become. So the gift of the pastor should activate the members of the body to care for one another. It's not just the responsibility of pastoring. Now, I know traditionally we've been taught that the pastor pastors the church, and so we have the pastoral gift that takes the responsibility of pastoring the congregation. I think that's created structures that are flawed and faulted in many ways. It makes it so that we have old covenant, clergy, laity, people who know, people who don't know, those who are priests, those who are secular people. We should all be priests. We should all be kings. And so God appoints some to help us all become kings and priests in our everyday lives, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And everybody should be pastoral in some degree. I may not be pastoral by equipping gift, but I should care for others. I should care for my children. I should care for my friends. I probably should be even a little caring toward my enemies. And so God gives some pastors to help us become pastoral as a body. Number three, it is an old covenant practice to expect the pastor to be the one who provides all the pastoral care for the members of the body of Christ. In my body, if I expected my head to provide all the care for my body, I'd be a wreck. I mean, there are things going on inside of me that my head has no idea about. This morning I was eating breakfast and my stomach started digesting food. It was making all kinds of noise. I don't know what it was doing, but it was working on some stuff. And I'm thinking, well, what is going on? That's what my head thought. But it was none of my head's business because the body was taking care of itself. It wasn't a headship function. It wasn't a thing that the head needed to know what was going on. It's just something that the body knows to do to be a healthy body. And so I want to be that way in anything that I lead as an expression of the body of Christ. Number four, the pastor is not the priest of the people. The fivefold ministry is not the priesthood. Every believer is a priest. So when we lead in the body of Christ, any expression that we have to recognize we're not being a priest on behalf of the people. That's old covenant. We're empowering these people to be priests before their God, to be kings before the world, royal priesthood, kingly priestly, not some kings, some priests, but all kings and priests. So the fivefold ministry is not the priesthood. They're simply, some have been gifted to help equip so that we can all be priestly. Number five, an evangelist should not only evangelize, they should activate an evangelistic spirit in believers. In other words, there should be people who evangelize, but then they inspire us all to be evangelistic, to reach out to those who are in darkness and bring them into the light, to reach out to those who are lost and bring them into the place of knowing this saving grace. Not going out and doing the work of an evangelist, but or doing the ministry of an evangelist, but being evangelistic in who we are. Most people who come to Christ don't come because of big name evangelists. They come because of someone helped them. Someone became evangelistic around them, even when it comes to these big crusades that come in. An evangelist can wake somebody up, but evangelistic people bring them into the place of discipleship. I would also say, number six, a prophet doesn't just prophesy. He or she activates a prophetic spirit in the saints. Speaking, life happens. Expressing, life happens. Every believer should be prophetic in some sense. They speak and life happens. They express God and life happens. There are some who are sent to help us become the verbs. The nouns are sent as servant roles to help us become prophetic. Speak and life happens. Number seven, an apostolic ministry is one that will send forth other ministries. So an apostolic spirit is a sending spirit. As parents, we should send our children to be who they're meant to be. We should help encourage and send one another to become who they are, to be an apostolic body. So God sends some apostles to help us be an apostolic body. I travel around as a prophetic apostle. I'm not an apostle everywhere. I'm an apostle where I'm sent. Where I'm not sent, it's none of my business. I'm a prophetic apostle. I help those that I'm sent to see what couldn't be seen before. If I try to do that everywhere, I'll be an idiot. I'm not sent everywhere, and I can't help people see everywhere. I can only help those who I've been sent to see. Now, my goal when I go is to be a servant. I come less than the body of Christ, to serve the body of Christ. It's a servant role. That's my noun role, and I'm activating the verbs. I, too, have sent nouns in my life that help me activate in those verbs. My own son is more pastoral than I am. He helps me be pastoral toward others. Others in the same way. My apostolic brothers, I have my covenant brother Bob Nichols is more teaching than I am. So he helps me be teaching, the ability to break things down and to mentor and to disciple, to help others catch it. I'm not a teacher. I can teach. I'm teaching you, but I'm not a teacher. I'm like an explosion. I'm exploding your spirit. I've given you way too much. That's prophetically. But I we need other graces to help us equip to be able to disciple. So I believe that these things are true.